All right, we'll go ahead and continue. We were fortunate to be able to track down Jake Olson, sophomore long snapper from USC, to join us today. Jake is online with us. Jake, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for taking time to join us today. Also, wanted to let you know that by a vote of the media, you have been selected the Pac-12 Special Teams Player of the Week. So
Thank you. Congratulations.
And we'll go ahead and open it up for questions from the media for Jake.
If you're asking a question, press star followed by the number one. Your first question is from Kyle Kinsing with Athlon Sports.
Jake, going back to your childhood and growing up as a USC fan, meeting Coach Carroll and everything like that, at what point did you really start to invest yourself in working towards this goal of becoming a USC Trojan?
Well, going into my junior year of high school, at the end of my sophomore year, I wanted to get back on the football field somehow. And so our long snapper at Orange Lutheran at the time was leaving. He was going to Utah, and he kind of was, I think he was ranked like either three or four in the country. So he was a great long snapper. But because of that, the coaches kind of had failed to really find a successor to him. And so I felt that vacancy open up, and I wanted to kind of take it, so I practiced all summer long, and then when we got to the fall camp my junior year, they lined up all the long snappers, and I earned a spot on varsity my junior and senior year. And really, kind of through that time, you know, I'd come up to SC, and there'd be kind of some talks with Pat Hayden about, yeah, you know, once you get in, you know, we'd love to have you on the team. And so then I really started trying to put in practice and just become the best long snapper I could. So when I got there and was actually on the team, you know, I could earn some playing time. And so really was just the sense of it was always my dream to be at SC, and I made sure I had the grades to get in, and then just honing in on my football skill just to earn a spot on the team and just show everyone on that team that I belong there.
Thank you.
And again, that is star one for questions. Your next question comes from Ann Peterson with AP.
Hey, for those of us that weren't there, can you kind of walk us through your emotions and what happened on Saturday, kind of from your perspective?
Well, I was, you know, obviously I had received confirmation from Coach Helton the day before that, you know, that I was going to play on Saturday, and so I was just, you know, before a game, warming up, just making sure I felt good. Thought it was going to maybe happen the first half, so I was kind of anxiously waiting around. Didn't happen the first half. You know, obviously, we were in a dogfight, and then kind of came out the second half, warmed up a little bit again. It's still, you know, Western Michigan played it very tough, even that second half. And so even in the fourth quarter, I kind of had almost mentally kind of said, okay, you know, this is probably not going to happen today. And then sure enough, Marvell took back the touchdown off the interception, and then my holder, Wyatt, comes running up to me and telling me, am I ready? And I said, well, I mean, not really. I haven't warmed up in a little while, but, you know, I'm good to go. So Coach Helton took a timeout, got a few snaps in on the sideline, and then ran in there. And, yeah, I mean, it just was it was a special moment, you know, running on the field, just – realizing, hearing the crowd cheer cheer as the PA announcer, you know, said I was in the game, and just kind of, you know, I waited for so long for that moment, and I couldn't believe it was happening. I think the fans were too, and it was very fun, but, you know, I just wanted to make sure I focused on my technique just to get a good snap back there. But, I mean, it was a moment that I knew would be remembered forever, and, you know, that's really what I was feeling, and just knowing we're making history out there.
When you found out that you were going to get into the game, did you like call everybody you knew growing up and say, "Get out to the Coliseum"?
No, I actually tried to keep it. I tried to keep it a little secret. I really, you know, I knew. Trust me, everyone would see it after it happened, and so I didn't want to create so much of this hype around it, and, you know, I wanted just to first off win the game in any way we could, you know, and make sure that that's the number one goal. But, you know, again, I knew, obviously I told my parents and some of my friends, but beyond that, I didn't tell everyone, just because I didn't, like I said, I knew they were going to see it. I knew that they were that they would know, but I just I didn't want to create this hype around it. Just that, just from a personal standpoint of creating, kind of just having a little bit of peace. But also, like I said, I didn't want to take away from the game itself.
So he told you the day before, that night, were you nervous? Was it kind of a sleepless night for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was, it definitely was. I was nervous. I mean, I trusted in myself. I trusted my technique. You know, I knew I could deliver a good snap. It just was this first off, this sense of, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is actually happening. You know, this emotions of just being around the team for that long and actually getting in a game and working towards it and actually, you know, having this dream and this goal accomplished. But also, you know, I knew this moment was going to be remembered forever, and it's honestly bigger than sports, you know, and it just was this moment I could inspire thousands and millions of people. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure I understood the significance of that moment. That's what kind of made me, you know, a little uneasy, just like, wow, this is going to be a huge, huge moment. And I just want to make sure that I can, you know, produce and execute, just to show others what, you know, what I'm all about and what it takes to just go out there and overcome adversity.
Thank you so much, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Kurt Kredthorpe with the Salt Lake Tribune.
Jake, as you said, it was an indelible moment for all of us. In some way, though, do you wish that Coach Helton hadn't had to make a special arrangement with the other coach? I'm assuming that didn't happen in high school, and you would like to be treated as any other player?
Coach Helton definitely is on the side where, you know, he understands I'm a football player. It doesn't matter that, you know, I can't see that, you know, I'm protected by the rules of football anyways, and I'm a big guy out there. And so, you know, I think some of the medical staff was more pushing that than Coach Helton. And, you know, I think for the first one, you know, you can get out there, and, you know, I think as time goes on, the staff will understand more and more that, you know, it's just another player out there. So, yeah, I do want to be out there in a snap in a college game where there is a live rush, and, you know, you can see I'm not made out of glass, and that I can take contact and even be knocked to the ground, you know, off of just maybe a block or something, and just get up like a normal player would. So, yeah, definitely. And I think again, you know, Coach Helton, I know I've talked to him, and he's all for, you know, just me being out there. He trusts in me. He believes in me, and trust me. I mean, all you have to do is stand next to me and be like, all right, that kid will be fine.
Yeah, well said. Thank you.
Your next question is from Nicole Auerbach with the All-American.
Jake, congrats again. And I just was wondering, you were talking about kind of knowing in that moment and going to the game that you'd be able to inspire a lot of people afterwards. I was wondering if you've heard from people. I know, I'm sure on Twitter or emails, I don't know. Have you already been feeling that impact of how you've been able to inspire others?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been amazing to see the social media aspect of it and just see how this thing's kind of taken, you know, off in every which direction. You know, for the last 8 years, I know my story's inspired, you know, thousands and millions of people just, you know, after, you know, just seeing me, the first ESPN piece to then, you know, watching me play college or high school football, and then now, you know, then joining the team, and then now, you know, obviously snapping. And so I've been able to see that, you know, I motivationally speak, and I've got to go around and speak to large groups and inspire. So, you know, I it's something I love to see. In return, it inspires me to continue to do what I do. And just to see all the social media aspect of it, just, you know, Instagram likes and retweets and everything, and just hearing people's comments of, you know, even beyond the Trojan Nation of, you know, I actually really hate USC, but I love hearing this story. You know, Jake's awesome. You know, so it's like, you know, you get these other fans that, you know, have no business and even caring about USC, but are moved by the story, and that's just awesome to hear.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
We'll take one more question.
Your next question is from Kyle Kinsing with Athlon Sports.
Jake, kind of in that same vein, I had read a scout's piece on the message that you'd sent to 6-year-old Noah. When you're able to put names and faces and that sort of thing, identities to the people that you're inspiring, how kind of special is that for you when you know specifically who you're kind of inspiring?
It's very special. I mean, Noah was special. We had a 10-year-old boy facing leukemia out in practice 2 weeks ago named Taylor. And, you know, just being able to, first off, remember and put myself in the shoes of those kids of coming out to practice, going through very difficult times and being surrounded by a team and just feeling that pure joy and bliss and honestly just peace out there and not letting, you know, the difficulties of outside come in those, you know, practice walls and just kind of be having that as a safe haven. Understanding that and being able to give those kids that the same joy that I received is just it's an honor, and it's something very special. It touched my heart, and it touches my heart every time just knowing that, you know, I'm now seen as that football player, that hero that those kids look up to and find that peace and, you know, that wow factor, and they put a big smile on their face even though they're confronting just these awful situations. And so, you know, when you do put names and faces, and, you know, I can help individuals and see the joy and just feel the same emotions that I felt, and I can totally feel that inside them. And that's just something that's really special and touches me.
Thank you.
All right, Jake, that'll do it for today. Hey, appreciate your time. Thank you. And hopefully you'll get another opportunity to participate in the game again this year.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Our USC coach Clay Helton is online with us, and the Trojans are hosting Stanford in the conference opener for both teams. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
In order to ask a question, press star followed by the number one. Your first question comes from the line of David Ubben, Sports on Earth.
Clay, what's your favorite thing about coaching Ronald Jones? What is that like?
Again, to hold your breath every time he touches the ball, just knowing that just the explosiveness that he brings to the table, especially with the off-season work that he's done. He's added about 10 pounds of muscle and just it really looks like even a stronger runner than he has been for us. We could see it in training camp, and I was looking forward to seeing it on game day. And he's brought a new level of strength and power to his running style, as well as working extremely hard in the passing game and catching the ball out of the backfield. He's become a complete back for us, where he was known primarily as a runner coming out of high school. The kid has really done a great job of being a runner, a pass catcher out of the backfield, and a pass protector for us. So it's great to see him be a complete back and so easy and coachable. He's a coach's dream.
Why do you think he's become the kind of player that he looks like he's going to be for you guys this year, and obviously he's already done?
Yeah, you know, he's put a lot of work. He's going into his third year now. Has been a starter even as a freshman, he's had a lot of reps and a lot of experience now at the college level. And you can tell his comfort level now in games that he is an every down back, and that's what he's wanted to become. He's worked extremely hard at it, especially in, you know, pass protection and catching the ball. He's always been a natural runner, but he's truly gaining football knowledge and fundamentals and techniques that is making him an every down back and obviously a really terrific college football player.
Where do you see that comfort level show up that maybe it wasn't there early in his career?
You know, primarily I think of it catching the ball out of the backfield and what he can do after the catch, yards after catch. We had a big play on a third down in the red zone last week where he's on a hot route and he needs to make the play for us or it ends the drive. And he looked just so natural and comfortable where, you know, I don't think that was a level of comfort for him when he first got here. And it's been great to see him grow the entirety of his game rather than just focusing on his strength, which is running the ball.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question is from Steve Megerge, Associated Press.
Hello, I was just wondering, with the kind of wave of transfers at the quarterback position across the country in the last couple of years, what are the challenges that coach faces in trying to establish depth at that position to kind of have a backup you have faith in?
Yeah, I think it's one of the things as you look at it, and I'm fortunate I've been a quarterback coach by trade, is I think schools today are always trying to sign at least one quarterback per per year, because you know at the nature of that position, you're only going to be able to play one, and a lot of times kids will transfer, so they have the opportunity to play. So it's as you look at your recruiting class each and every year as a head coach, you kind of know in the back of your head that you're going to go try to get the best possible quarterback for your team, not only for the future, not only for maybe right now, but also for the future if something's to happen with.
Thank you.
And again, that's star one to ask a question.
Get some questions for Coach. Have a couple more.
Your next question is from Kyle Kinsing with Athlon Sports.
Coach, at USC, you know, you've obviously got Notre Dame and UCLA as rivals, but how do you see the Stanford series kind of evolve, and would you put it in that rivalry category at this point?
Did we lose Coach's line?
Yes, he has disconnected.
Okay, let's see if we can get it back online.
Okay.
Hey, we have Coach back on?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. Disconnected there. We'll go ahead and ask the question again, Kyle.
Yeah. Coach, in your time having been at USC, how have you seen the Stanford series kind of evolve? And you've obviously got Notre Dame and UCLA, but do you feel Stanford's kind of reached that that rivalry kind of level for your program?
Oh, no question. This is going to be my eighth season at USC, and you know, one of the things that comes into play each and every year is, you know, you're in for a physical war, a battle with a very good, disciplined Stanford team, and it's one of those dates you know you mark on your calendar because you know it's going to impact your season, you know, David's done a tremendous job there year in, year out of building that program to what it is today. And the consistency that he brings to the table year in and year out with his program is very impressive.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Nicole Auerbach with the All-American.
Coach, I'm just wondering, with 12 straight weeks of games and no breaks in between there, I'm wondering what the sense of urgency or focus on recovery was after Western Michigan and kind of this past weekend up until today after week one of 12.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. Right now you're really going into our seventh week of football, you know, with no two-a-days and the extended training camp. This is week number seven. I think that's one of the things that all head coaches around the country are having to look at is making sure that you have a maintenance of your football team and really evaluating where your team is at, whether you can, you know, continue very physical practices like we have or, you know, whether you have to back off because of injury. But we immediately go right into maintenance right afterwards. We're a Sunday day off team right after the game, and then a very light Monday practice trying to get them back for a very physical Tuesday, and always monitoring and watching our kids to see how they're coming back after a very competitive game with Western Michigan.
And then just one quick follow-up. Is it any different? Are you approaching it differently because of the lack of a bye, or was that kind of the routine that you would normally have taken after one game?
No, we've taken the normal routine. We've been in very much routine in basically these last 10 weeks since, I guess, Utah last year of practicing the same, keeping everybody in routine. The one thing that we're going to have to manage is if we do have some injuries this season. And like I told our coaches, you know, we've got a great plan. Our kids are very comfortable with our weekly routine. Obviously, excuse me, it's created some success for us over the last 10 weeks. But if we do have injuries, we may have to alter that plan based on the health of our football team.
All right, thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question is from Ted Sobel, Sports USA Radio.
Hey, Coach, can you assess Sam Darnold's opener and what he needs to do better this week against Stanford's D?
Yeah, you know, and Sam's, I'm a quarterback coach by trade, so I'm always harder on the quarterbacks than anybody. But in looking at the tape, Sam did some really impressive things in my mind. You know, like I told him, I said, buddy, sometimes you're gonna throw for six touchdowns, and sometimes you're gonna run for six touchdowns. And on last Saturday, we ran for six touchdowns, and he was one of them. He did exactly what I asked him to do and what our staff asked him to do, and that wasn't get glued in on one guy, but really take what the defense gives you. And you look up, and the kids, you know, completed 70% of his ball for 289 yards and really threw it to 10 different wideouts, and that's what we wanted. We didn't want him to glue in on one specific target, but to be able to take what the defense gave him. And I really appreciate that trust that he put in, even in one of his two interceptions. He saw a one-on-one opportunity on a deep ball. He put it up. He gave his kid the opportunity to have a chance to make a play. And that's what you do as a quarterback. You trust your wideouts. Really, on the day, he had one forced ball in a two-minute situation that I know he'd like to have back. But overall, from a quarterback coach standpoint, I thought it was to go out there with a bunch of new kids, very good on his part, showing poise, not getting frustrated, and executing the offense.
Of course, Stanford's a whole different ball game that you're facing now, right?
Oh, no question. You're talking about one of the better defenses, not only in our league, but in the country. And they've done a tremendous job against us the last three opportunities that we've played. And they have what you look for in a defense. It seems like they're always strong right down the dang middle of their defense and with their nose, their Mike Backer, and their safety. And you look up, and there's no difference this year with Harrison Phillips and Sean Barton and Brandon Simmons. I mean, the guys are really solid football players, and they always seem to be one of the toughest obstacles we'll have to face year in and year out.
Appreciate it, Coach, as always.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Zach Helfen, the Los Angeles Times.
Hey, Clay.
I
look back since this rivalry started becoming really competitive about 10 years ago, and the team that wins the rushing battle has almost always one. And I know if this were maybe 15 years ago, you could probably look at any series and it would be that way. Mm-hmm. But I know the game has evolved to much more passing emphasis, where the rushing game and a lot of games doesn't affect it quite as much. Why do you think this rivalry, the rushing battle, has remained as important as it has?
I think if you go, you know, one of the best things that ever happened to me is the first time I was a coordinator, I was working for a defensive head coach in Tommy West, and I'll never forget his words that games are won by running the ball, stopping the run, not turning it over, and playing great special teams. And, you know, when you look up and you see most wins, the majority of the time, the team that, you know, ran the ball more effectively and didn't turn over, didn't create the critical areas, is going to win the game. And, you know, when you play a Stanford team, they're the best in our league at running the ball, seems year in and year out on a consistent basis. And, you know, that's what you're going to have to face when you play them. They all of a sudden they go from Christian McCaffrey, who's one of the best players I've ever played against in my coaching career, and you look up now and they've got Love and Scarlett, who did a wonderful job in the Rice game. You know, so it's something that I know we have to make a huge emphasis on, that we're going to be working tirelessly this week to be able to stop a really powerful Stanford run game and hopefully keep the consistency in our run game like we had in game one.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Your next question comes from Leo Haggerty. It's Sports Magazine.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Coach, after watching the film, what's the biggest area you need to improve upon to move forward after the opener?
Well, I think the point of emphasis this week is to try to improve in our run defense. You know, in that first half, we got out of our gap control, whether it was a misalignment or being reached or a missed tackle in open space, and really made it an extremely competitive ball game with Western Michigan. And, you know, those are things that cannot happen when you're playing a Stanford team that's as good as running the ball as anybody in our league. And so that's the primary emphasis this week, is making sure that we are effective in stopping the run.
Coach, last question, and thank you for your time today. Almost every NCAA football program has at least one Florida player on it. And they saw what happened with Hurricane Harvey, and right now Hurricane Irma is a Category 5 heading to Florida. How do you keep your players or coaches concentrating on a game when this thing's going to hit Florida right about game time?
Yeah, it's, you know, anytime those natural disasters hit home, I think it affects all of us. And I'm a Florida native, and my mom and dad live in South Florida, and my grandmother, my entire family. So, you know, from one Floridian to all those down there, you know, we're just sending our thoughts and prayers on a daily basis. It's my wife's family was from, my wife's family is from Houston, and my family's from Florida. So we've had a lot of thoughts and prayers, and wishing nothing but the best for our Floridians down there.
Good luck this weekend, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Any further questions for Coach? All right, hearing none, that's it. Clay, hey, thanks for your time, and good luck this weekend.
All righty, thank you, guys. Take care.
Okay. We'll see you.